This is Murray Yates welcoming you today to Mission Breakthrough.
If all of the years since I left you could be turned back and relived again, I'd know this time never to doubt you or turn away when you whisper my name. In all of the time that I wandered, lost from your love's gentle care, sure that I knew where the road led, but only to find nothing there. When I had you, I had something to hold on to, someone to talk to see me through. If I'd seen then what I see clearly now, I'd never have stopped loving you. Well, I thought I could find my own way and show you how it could done, but I've seen and I've tried all the others. Now I know there can only be one. Now I have you and I have something to hold on to, someone to talk to see me through. If I'd seen then what I see clearly now, I'd never have stopped loving you. Now I have you and I have something to hold on to, someone to talk to see me through. If I'd seen then what I see clearly now, I'd never have stopped loving you. If I'd seen then what I see clearly now, I'd never have stopped loving you.
Good afternoon. We are continuing the Purpose-Driven Life, Part 2. And we are looking at the book called The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. Last month, we saw that focusing on ourselves will never reveal God's purpose to us. Secondly, you were made by God and for God, and until you can understand that, life will never make sense. Thirdly, it is not speculation, but through revelation that you find out what God's plan is for your life. And the scriptures tell us in Isaiah 44 verse 2, I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. What is more, it was God's love for you that you were created. The Bible tells us that before he laid the foundation of the earth, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the purpose of his love. I know that God uniquely created me. What areas of my personality, background and physical appearance am I struggling to accept? I wonder if you can answer that question for yourself. We are going to continue on today, as we mentioned, and the session today is called What Drives Your Life? You see, everyone is driven by something. Most dictionaries define the verb drive as to guide or to control or to direct. Whether you are driving a car, a nail or a golf ball, you are guiding, controlling and directing it at that moment. What is a driving force in your life? Right now you may be driven by a problem, a pressure or a deadline. You may be driven by a painful memory, a haunting fear or an unconscious belief. There are hundreds of circumstances, values and emotions that can drive your life. And here are five of the most common ones. Many people are driven by guilt. They spend their entire lives running from regrets and hiding their shame. Guilt-driven people are manipulated by memories. They allow their past to control their future. They often unconsciously punish themselves by sabotaging their own success. When Cain sinned, his guilt disconnected him from God's presence. And God said, "You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." And that describes most people today wandering through life without a purpose. Of course, Cain didn't know, nothing. Jesus Christ had not died then, and he was unable to be forgiven through Jesus Christ. However, God had put in place a different way. However, let us go on. We are products of our past, but we don't have to be prisoners of it. God's purpose is not limited by your past. He turned a murderer called Moses into a leader, and a coward called Gideon into a courageous hero, and he can do amazing things with the rest of your life too. And God specializes in bringing a fresh start. The Bible says, "What happens for those whose guilt has been forgiven? What relief for those who have confessed their sins and God has cleared their record?" Many people are driven by resentment and anger. They hold on to hurts and never get over them. Instead of releasing their pain through forgiveness, they rehearse it over and over in their minds. And some resentment-driven people clam up and internalize their anger, while others blow up and explode it onto others. But both responses are unhealthy and unhelpful. Resentment always hurts you more than it does the person you resent. While your offender has probably forgotten the offense and gone on with life, you continue to stew in your pain, holding on to the past. Listen, those who have hurt you in the past cannot continue to hurt you now unless you hold on to the pain through resentment. Your past is past. Nothing will change it. You are only hurting yourself with your bitterness. For your own sake, learn from it and then let it go. The Bible says to worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. Many people are driven by fear. Their fears may be a result of a traumatic experience, unrealistic expectations, growing up in a high-controlled home, or even genetic predisposition. Regardless of the cause, fear-driven people often miss great opportunities because they are afraid to venture out. Instead, they play it safe, avoiding risks and trying to maintain the status quo. Fear is a self-imposed prison that will keep you from becoming what God intends for you to be. You must move against it with the weapons of faith and love. The Bible says, "Well-formed love banishes fear." Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. Many people are driven by materialism. Their desire to acquire becomes the whole goal of their life. And this drive too, always wants more and is based on the misconceptions that having more will make me more happy, more important, and more secure. But all three ideas are untrue. Possession only provides temporary happiness. Because things do not change, we eventually become bored with them and then want newer, bigger, better versions. It is also a myth that if I get more, I will be more important. Self-worth and net worth are not the same. Your value is not determined by your valuables. And God says the most valuable things in life are not things. The most common myth about money is that having more will make me more secure. It won't. Wealth can be lost instantly through a variety of uncontrollable factors. Real security can only be found in that which can never be taken from you, your relationship with God. Many people are driven by the need for approval. They allow the expectations of parents or spouses or children or teachers or friends to control their lives. Many adults are still trying to earn the approval of unpleasant parents. Others are driven by peer pressure, always worried by what others might think. Unfortunately, those who follow the crowd usually get lost in it. I don't know all the keys to success, but one key to failure is to try to please everyone. Being controlled by the opinions of others is a guaranteed way to miss God's purpose for your life. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters." You see, there are other forces that can drive your life, but all lead to the same dead end. Unused potential, unnecessary stress, and an unfulfilled life. This 40-day journey will show you how to live a purpose-driven life, a life guided, controlled, and directed by God's purposes. Nothing matters more than knowing God's purpose for your life, and nothing can compensate for not knowing them, not success, wealth, fame, or pleasure. Without a purpose, life is motion without meaning, activity without direction, and events without reason. Without a purpose, life is trivial, petty, and pointless. Then what are the benefits of purpose-driven living? There are five great benefits of living a purpose-driven life. Knowing your purpose gives meaning to your life. We were made to have meaning, and this is why people try dubious methods like astrology or physics to discover it. When life has meaning, you can bear almost anything. Without it, nothing is bearable. A young man in his 20s wrote, "I feel like a failure because I'm struggling to become something, and I don't even know what it is. All I know how to do is to get by. Someday, if I discover my purpose, I'll feel I'm beginning to live." And the question is, of course, what drives your life? And without God, life has no purpose. And without purpose, life has no meaning. Without meaning, life has no significance or hope. And in the Bible, many different people express this hopelessness. Isaiah complained, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing." And Job said, "My life drags by day after hopeless day, and I give up. I am tired of living. Leave me alone. My life makes no sense." And the greatest tragedy is not death, but life without purpose. Hope is as essential to your life as air and water. You need hope to cope. And Dr. Bernie Siegel found he could predict which of his cancer patients would go into remission by asking, "Do you want to live to be 100? Those with a deep sense of life's purpose answered yes, and those were the ones most likely to survive. Hope comes from having a purpose. If you have felt hopeless, hold on. Wonderful changes are going to happen in your life as you begin to live it on purpose. God says, I know what I am planning for you. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope and a good future. You may feel you are facing an impossible situation, but the Bible says God is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. Knowing your purpose simplifies your life. It defines what you do and what you don't do. Your purpose becomes a standard you use to evaluate which activities are essential and which aren't. You simply ask, does this activity help me fulfill one of God's purposes for my life? Without a clear purpose, you have no foundation on which you base decisions, allocate your time, and use your resources. You will tend to make choices based on circumstances, pressures, and your mood at that time. People who don't know their purpose try to do much, and that causes stress, fatigue, and conflict. It is impossible to do everything people want you to do. You have just enough time to do God's will. If you can't get it all done, it means you are trying to do more than God intended for you to do, or possibly that you are watching too much television. Purpose-driven living leads to a simpler lifestyle and a saner schedule. The Bible says a pretentious, showy life is an empty life. A plain and a simple life is a full life. It also leads to peace of mind. You, Lord, give perfect peace to those who keep their purpose firm and put their trust in you. Knowing your purpose focuses your life. It concentrates your efforts and energy on what's important. You become effective by being selective. It's human nature to get distracted by minor issues. We play trivial pursuit with our lives. And Henry David Thoreau observed that people live lives of quiet desperation. But today, a better description is aimless distraction. And many people are like spinning tops, which go around at a frantic pace, but never going anywhere. Without a clear purpose, you will keep changing directions, jobs, relationships, churches, or other externals, hoping each change will settle the confusion or fill the emptiness in your heart. You think maybe this time it will be different, but it doesn't solve your real problem, a lack of focus and purpose. The Bible says, don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. And the power of focusing can be seen in light. Diffused light has little power or impact, but you can concentrate its energy by focusing it. With a magnifying glass, the rays of the sun can be focused to set grass or paper on fire. When light is focused even more as a laser beam, it can cut through steel. There is nothing quite as potent as a focused life, one lived on purpose. The men and women who have made the greatest difference in history were the most focused. For instance, the Apostle Paul almost single-handedly spread Christianity throughout the Roman Empire. His secret was a focused life. He said, I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. If you want your life to have impact, focus it. Stop dabbling. Stop trying to do it all. Do less. Prune away even good activities and do only that which matters most. Never confuse activity with productivity. You can be busy without a purpose. But what's the point? Paul said, let's keep focused on the goal, those of us who want everything God has for us. And knowing your purpose motivates your life. Purpose always produces passion. Nothing energizes like a clear purpose. On the other hand, passion dissipates when you lack a purpose. Just getting out of bed becomes a major chore. It is usually meaningless work. Not overwork that wears us down, saps our strength, and robs our joy. George Bernard Shaw wrote, "This is the true joy of life, the being used up for a purpose. Recognized by yourself as a mighty one, being a force of nature, instead of a feverish, selfish little clot of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy." And knowing your purpose prepares you for eternity. Many people spend their lives trying to create a lasting legacy on earth. They want to be remembered when they're gone. Yet what ultimately matters most will not be what others say about your life, but what God says. What people fail to realize is that all achievements are eventually surpassed, records are broken, reputations fade, and tributes are forgotten. In college, James Dobson's goal was to become the school's tennis champion. He felt proud when his trophy was prominently displayed in the school's trophy cabinet. Years later, someone mailed him that trophy. They had found it in a trash can when the school was remodeled. Jim said, "Given enough time, all your trophies will be trashed by someone else." Living to create an earthly legacy is a short-sighted goal. A wiser use of time is to build an eternal legacy. You weren't put on earth to be remembered. You were put here to prepare for eternity. And one day you will stand before God, and he will do an audit of your life, a final exam, before you enter eternity. The Bible says, "Remember, each of us will stand personally before the judgment seat of God." Yes, each of us will have to give a personal account to God. Fortunately, God wants us to pass this test, so he has given us the questions in advance. From the Bible, we can surmise that God will ask us two crucial questions. What did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? God won't ask about your religious background or doctrinal views. The only thing that will matter is, did you accept what Jesus did for you? And did you learn to love and trust him? And Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." What did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with your life? All the gifts, talents, opportunities, energy, relationships, and resources God gave you. I have to ask those questions for myself as well. And did you spend them on yourself? Or did you use these opportunities for the purposes of God, which God made you for? Preparing you for these two questions is the goal of this book. The first question will determine where you spend eternity. The second question will determine what you do in eternity. Well, this is Murray Yates, signing off for this week.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid. The storm, there's There's a golden sky and the sweet